Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever you are in the world. And welcome to another episode of Glass Half Full, a podcast and a safe platform where we talk with a variety of teachers, entrepreneurs, spiritualists, uplifters, givers, shakers, and serenaders. Everyone has a lesson to learn and a lesson to share. Let's use our life experiences to enrich someone's heart, mind, spirit, and soul. Through sharing our experiences, we can be a learning inspiration for one another. I'm your host, Chris Levins. Let's welcome today's guest. Today's guest is Johnny Keith. Johnny Keith is a 7-season host of Actors 2020 podcast, a top 10 international podcast in performing arts. Let's give a warm welcome to Johnny Keith. Good morning. Hey. Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, check my stats today, and I am number one today in performing arts.
Wow. Well, congratulations. Congratulations. Today is a perfect day for us to have you on this interview day. Thank you for taking some time out to be a guest here on Glass Half Full. We're happy to have you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Can you tell everybody where you are in the world?
So I live in Los Angeles, Santa Monica, actually, 7 blocks from the ocean.
Wow. And what time is it now?
7 a.m. Bright and early. Everybody's out here running and being healthy. And I'm like, should I be running?
Well, the fact that you're up and you sound so clear is everything. So you're doing a lot already, definitely. Well, we're going to jump right in. I'd like to ask all of my guests this first question. I believe that our lives are in spiritual design. Can you share your life layout or blueprint with everyone? How you grew up, where, your family lifestyle?
All right. So, well, I grew up in Houston, Texas, in a suburb of Aldine, and I had the biggest yard in the neighborhood. So everybody played football in my front yard, whether I was there or not. So I got to know the entire neighborhood. And it was a multi-ethnic neighborhood. No one had any issues with race. We were just kids. We were out there just playing every single day. And we had 2 different kinds of Spanish people on my street. They taught me how to play soccer, which they told me it was football. And I'm like, that's called football. So we played soccer. We played baseball. We played football. And then the rule was when the street lights come on, then you have to be home mm-hmm. when the street lights come on, because you just, you know, bad things happen at night. So just don't go outside at night.
Okay.
I used to work at the roller skating rink, and to get money for that, I would, back then people would throw their Coke bottles out into the ditch, and I would retrieve them and take them to Safeway, and then they would give me money for recycling.
Yes. Okay. Have nice.
I loved it. And so, you know, because I didn't really get much of an allowance. So I paid for my own. I used to go skating almost every single day that I could, Friday, Saturday, Wednesday. And I just ended up getting a job there. And I was the guy with the whistle telling you to slow down. And then from 12 o'clock to 1 o'clock, it was a sock hop where everyone got out there and danced. And I would roll around making sure nobody had shoes on the floor. And it was just a fun time growing up. I used to play baseball. I just love playing baseball. And one year I finally, my batting average was in the high 600s, almost 700. I hardly Wow. ever struck out, never hit a home run, except an in park home run one time. And my dad, who's no longer with us, his great joy, he just wrote me this letter, and I read it all the time. I actually read it at his funeral. His great joy was just watching me play baseball, how I would just control the whole game, being the catcher, throwing people out at second. I could start off with a walk. When the catcher threw the ball back to the pitcher, I'm on second. Bam, I'm on third. Bam, I just stole home. Wow. I just should have been a professional baseball player, but I got a Rally Sport T-top Camaro when I was 16, and, you know, I just wanted to have fun and date girls, and just, it was just like a really great time. And I thought I was going to end up being a cop, but for some reason, I'm just not the best on tests. I don't know what it is with tests. I mean, to get my motorcycle license, I had to take the test 4 times, and I wanted to be military police. So I tried to take that test, and I missed it by 1 point. So I said, you know what, let's just see what happens. But I had an older brother, a younger brother, and an older sister. So one was the oldest, one was the youngest, and one was the middle. And it kind of seemed like I just didn't fit in. So I just kind of become like a little, I had my best friend and everything, but I was just kind of like a loner. I felt kind of, I don't know. It's like, I have my adult family now and I talk to them every now and then, you know, they're definitely, you know, I love them and everything, but I don't know. It was just kind of different growing up. I kept looking at like, what does the milkman look like? What does the mailman look like?
No. Well, now, you know, they've got those tests that you can take to find out. People are all over the world are finding out. So if you're questioning, get that test, get that family test.
No, I look just like my dad. Matter of fact, when I moved to California, you know, I was trying to get into the acting, but it was just so hard. Everybody, I had a really bad accent and it was just really hard to break into the business. And so I kind of got to where I was making my own movies and stuff. And I'm just from Texas and people just kind of lie in the business and I just got fed up with it. Mm. But after the Me Too movement happened and the COVID, now on the set, everybody's so professional. Everybody's so nice. Oh, so I started getting back in. Yeah. So I created my own business because when I was young, my wife's dad had a plumbing company and he taught me how to do plumbing. So I became a journeyman plumber, master plumber. So when I moved out here, I started doing plumbing side jobs and I discovered something called retrofitting. When you buy a house, you have to do certain things before you can sell that house. It evolved over the years, but now it's like carbon monoxide alarms, smoke alarms, putting safety foam on sliding patio doors. It's changing the toilets. And it's also double strapping hot water heaters for earthquake and putting an automatic seismic gas shutoff valve on your gas meter. So if there's an earthquake, it shuts the gas off. Mm. Now, I've been doing that for like over 30 years. I didn't go to college. I figured out how to run a business, you know, make six figures just with myself and my wife at the time. We were doing like a couple hundred thousand a year, but we were just working our butts off. Hmm. And so one day I decided I'm going to do a podcast and teach people how to open their own business. I'm going to mentor a couple of people because if you can do a service like window washing, dog walking, even massage therapy, plumbing, heating, electrical, you can actually turn that into a business and make six figures a year just with one or two people. You could build a whole company and make millions if you wanted to, but just keeping it small. But today, nobody wants to actually work anymore. So I just got discouraged. And I said, you know what? I used to be in acting. Why don't I just interview actors? And so a couple of years ago, I started a podcast and it was really tough in the beginning. I was like number 1,000, number 500, number, and it just kept going down, down, down. And one day I was in the top 10. I said, I cracked the code and I kept doing it. Number five, number three. And several times I reached number one, but it's hard to stay number one. Mm-hmm. And I let it slip and I got back up to number 60 and I just started plugging away again. And 2 days ago, I was number five. Yesterday, I was number two. And I just checked it just now. And today, I'm number one in performing arts.
Wow.
So excited.
Congratulations, Johnny. That's awesome. Wow. All right. Yeah, all right. To set it off. So what's the secret to staying on top?
Well, I'm going to find that out. I know I'm going to stay in the top 10 now. I'm not going to let it slip. I had a friend I reconnected with 30 years ago and her mom passed away and they didn't talk for a while and she didn't want to deal with it. So I had to step in and help her with all her mom's things and taking everything out of the apartment. Mm-hmm. And a while back, I got a real estate license to do referrals, but you have to have a broker to do the paperwork. So I ended up getting my own broker's license. So I know I work for over 200 real estate agents. So I said, you know what?
Oh my gosh.
I know you don't want anything. I know you haven't, but you know what? You're the sole heir and you're going to get everything, whether it's probate or I'm going to take care of it. I co-listed the property with the probate attorney's daughter and we sold it in 4 days for $10,000 over asking and escrow closed the other day and my friend just got a check for like $830,000.
Wow. Wow. I know she is happy with you. She is like, okay.
Wow.
not that she sprung for one dinner since then, but still. I was happy to help her out because she's a really
So she do owe you a dinner friend. And some drinks, definitely, for a couple of dinners.
Yeah, So I got married when I was 18 in Texas. I got married again when I was 19.
A year later.
A year later, I always tell everybody.
You're busy, Johnny. You were busy. It was the convertible.
I tell everybody I went to the border when I was 18. I said, hey, I want to be an actor, go to California. They said, have you been married, divorced, and had two kids yet? I said, no. They goes, well, you're not getting out. So I went to California and I met this, I thought was my soulmate at the time. I guess you have more than one soulmate. And we were married for over 20 years and we had a great marriage, but we just realized we were more friends than. So I said, well, if we get divorced, why should I lose my friend? So we call each other. Yeah. We call each other like little buddies and it's kind of cool. And the girl that I was talking about with the mom, she was actually the girl I dated before my third wife. And we've been hanging out and ever since I met her, she's been kind of my good luck charm. And I've been actually working. I got back into the acting after I got divorced and I've been working consistently with speaking roles for a year and I finally got my first starring role and it just screened at the SAG-AFTRA building and now we're in a film festival on Wednesday. So I get to show up as the actual person's name.
Wow,
on the poster
get out of here.
I know. I'm so.
What?
I'm
well, what's so, the name? Are you allowed to tell us what it is or is it like?
Oh, secret? Yeah. So it's called We Are Humans 2. I don't want to say it's controversial, but it's eye-opening. Everything that is happening has happened to African-Americans by the police, by shooting, by getting shot unarmed. There's a case called Breonna. There's a case called George Floyd. So he flipped the script and all the cops are African-American. The congresspeople are African-American and the cops are shooting unarmed white people. And everything that happens to the white person is something that actually happened in real life to an African-American. So it's a short, 40 minutes long. It's called We Are Human Too. And we had a Q&A afterwards and it was just amazing. The unity, looking at it because a lot of people read the headlines and they're very limited. So he humanized the people and he told the story like this. So people who are not of color can listen to it and go, wow, I never even thought of it. That's BS because he puts it in a different light. And at the end of the movie, he puts a side-by-side comparison to all the things that happen because it ended up with a knee on the neck, like the George Floyd thing. And the discussion was like in Texas, the cops are pretty mean, but I was never in fear of my life. I was fear of maybe getting knocked up and kicked and slapped a little bit, maybe a taillight broken by a nightstick. But the discussion in the room, the African-Americans are actually scared that they are going to be shot when they're pulled over from a minor violation. And I think we've come a long way. And I think this movie is going to help that. And hopefully it's going to win an award. And it was just my honor to play the part and bring that story to light.
Wow. Nice. What character are you playing? Who are you playing in it?
So I play the community organizer. I would say the white Al Sharpton, less the charisma.
Okay. You bring in the word. You bring in that type of type of energy. Okay.
So I had to really take it serious and not, goof on it and just and so I went to the screen. It's just weird seeing yourself up there. So I'm talking to the police chief saying, hey, why are you killing unarmed people? And the police chief's like, come on, what about all this white on white crime? And they're just reversing the script. And now the congressman comes to me because I'm the community organizer and everybody listens to what I say. And he's not going to win Congress unless he gets me
gets
the white. Hey, you need the white vote or you're not going to get elected. So I don't know. It's just great. I've been a lead actor with other characters, but I've never been the actual first villain. The credits go up. My name's there. So
look at that. How exciting. I love it. That's awesome. I'll be like, let me get that signature, but we far away. But that's all right. That's all right. I know you. Look, I know you. That's it. That's enough. I'll be like, I know him. We've chatted.
That's right.
Awesome. Wow, you live in such an exciting life. At least it sounds like it. from this side.
As of this moment in life, things are great. Because in a 2-year period, I actually had 5 deaths in my family. Boom, boom, boom. It was not great. 2 years, I had to go clean up, you know. But, you know, right now, everything's amazing.
I love that. I want to be nosy a little bit. I heard some information that I want to ask you. I heard that, does it really cost over $100,000 a year for your podcast to run?
Right.
And how do you survive if it's not monetized or you don't show commercial ads?
Right. So having my plumbing, having those plumbing skills, I opened up my own business called Retrofitting. And it started off with, a little girl had walked through a sliding patio door and it broke in those jagged edges and she actually passed away. Wow. And her mom was on city council and she says, I need to make it a law when you sell a house, those windows have to be changed or they have to have a safety coating on there. And that's how Retrofitting started, just doing that one thing. So you put a Mylar film on there, you don't know what's on there, but if you were to walk on it, you would be safe. And then they started adding smoke detectors, carbon monoxide alarms. You had to double strap your hot water heater. You have to change your toilets. One law they changed, you have to put on an automatic seismic gas shutoff valve on your gas meter. So if there's an earthquake, it shuts your gas off. And since I'm a master plumber, I got my contractor's license here. And everything I do is safety and water conservation. And I made a little business out of that.
Okay.
And I got married. My wife started I used to make maybe $50,000 a year, $75,000 a year, just doing that. And I would pursue my acting. Then when I got married, we just went full throttle and we started doing over a couple $100,000 a year. We got up to not quite 250, but almost, just with 2 people, but we're working like dogs all the time. Mm-hmm. And, I just said, honey, you know what? I can't keep this up. I came here to be an actor. I'm going to have to figure something out. So I'm going to start a podcast. And the podcast was originally trying to teach people how to start their own business, because anybody that can do a service, that can walk a dog, that can simply wash windows, you can turn that into a business to make $75,000, $125 a year. And it's not that hard if you're organized and you listen to what I say, but nobody wants to work anymore these days. Everybody wants to hit their keyboard and money comes in their PayPal account. I get it.
Well, yeah, it is. That is, especially after the pandemic, this is a huge thing.
Yeah, I get it. So
how do you keep your cost from like how it? So does your podcast really generate that much? The cost that goes into it?
It's well, how I got the figure was, now that I'm doing my podcast and I'm putting so much into it, now I'm not making my $200,000 a year. I came all the way down to $100,000 a year. So I lost.
Wow. Okay. Okay.
Revenue,
which is going towards
to do the podcast.
Gotcha. I see.
So, and then when I started hitting that number one position, people were offering me money. People were saying, "Hey, here's $1,000. Can you do my ad? Hey, I want to. You know, I'll give you free acting classes. I'll give you free headshots." I never took anything.
Okay. Nothing. Because is it criminal? Is it like, is there something bad if you did?
No. What I really wanted to do is, I thought one day I would actually get my real estate broker's license, which I finally did. But back when I started, I didn't. I said, one day I'm going to advertise my real estate broker, you know, because what I do is I find, like, anywhere in the United States, somebody needs a real estate agent. If you're talking to the agent, they're going to sell you and maybe tell you things that maybe aren't true. So I created a little free service to where I interview all the agents. I interview like 5 of them and I pick the best 3 and send them to you. And you pick the one that's best for you. And then I get a 25% commission for that referral. And I thought, oh, that's all I'm going to do. But then when, like I said, my friend's mom passed away, I learned so much about probate and I listed that house that I really enjoy real estate. So since I know 200 agents in my other business, now when I get a listing in LA, I co-list with the other person. So they do all the paperwork. I do everything else. And it's just really great. Cool. So I just started advertising my services for the real estate. And we'll see how that goes. I'm building my website right now. It's still 5 months away because it's really detailed with SEO and the way you have to do it. Mm-hmm. Because everybody knows a real estate agent, you know?
It's so true.
The only reason I got that other listing, because I knew it was my friend. So 5 months from now, I'm going to be pulling leads from the internet because I figured out, no, I figured out the secret sauce on how to build it. And it's called Evergreen Marketing. And I'm building the website now and it's just, it's looking really good. I've had a lot of people go there, but there's nothing to do once you get there because it's not ready yet. I missed out on probably 300 leads last month.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
It's going to be happening. It's going to happen because I'm getting too old to do all that plumbing stuff. And, you know, acting in real estate, that's the goal. And
well, you've started something and, you know, just after we have to plant that seed and just give it a little time. And
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, things are sound. I mean, well, it sounds like you're super busy. How do you keep good mental health? What is it that you do for yourself since you're doing many different things, wearing many different hats?
Well, I try to stay fit. You know, living here in Santa Monica, everybody's running like 6 in the morning. And so another thing I've been doing is to get around the rent, I use my plumbing skills and I manage apartment buildings. I used to manage one in Beverly Hills for 14 years, another one for 5 years, one in Century City for 10 years. And now I actually manage this building right here in Santa Monica, 7 blocks from the beach. But this place was a mess. It's an old building. It took me almost a year to get this building up to where it's just normal. And just 2 weeks ago was my first day off in over a year since I moved here.
Oh my gosh. Are you serious?
I actually laid by the pool and I'm like, this is okay. Right? This is okay, right? I can like lay here for
Johnny, come on. No, what?
I'm caught up now. So everything's just basic repairs now. And now I actually went to the beach yesterday with my girlfriend. We laid out there for like 2 hours. Of course, I got burned a little bit.
Yeah, okay. You gotta put all right, Texas. Come on, Texas, with that skin.
I know. Now I'm going out and I'm singing karaoke and I don't know. I'm on the set. I was on a set of, I can't say the name of the famous artist. He might have dated a Kardashian. Okay. But anyway, it was one of those, smoking blunt guns, car chasing. So I got to be a cop. You're not even going to see me in the video. It's going to be a very famous video.
Okay.
But I'm in the cop car chasing this guy in a red Ferrari all around downtown Los Angeles. I can't believe they didn't have stunt drivers. They just gave me this cop car and I was just spinning sideways. I'm just going, I can't believe they're letting me do this. But I grew up in Texas and it rains like every other day. So I know how to handle a car. I'm putting precision driving on my resume now.
Uh-oh, you've been drifting. You're about to be the drifter.
Yeah, so every day, and I've got to work on all my favorite TV shows, like as a featured extra, or sometimes you get a little line. And just as this moment right here in life, I mean, I'm living the dream. Living the dream, finally.
Yes, well, that's great. I hope that you take some time to smell those roses, as they say, since you've been so busy. We want to feel like taking some time for ourselves is important so that way we can continue to maintain that top quality service and live that quality life, definitely. Can I ask you, if you had to name 5 values you live by, what would they be?
I think it's pretty simple for me. It's number one, just be nice. Just be nice. Number two, be honest. Don't lie, because if you lie, you have to lie to cover up that lie. Before you know it, your life is just one big lie. Just be honest. Seriously. It's like, what did I say? Because it's hard to remember.
It's so true, right? It's true. Just say, speak your truth. Be honest. I like it.
Number three, be positive. The only time in life that you can be negative is when you take a COVID test.
Yeah. That's cute. That's cute.
I would say a number four, just help others to get what they want. If you can add value into somebody's life, just give them a little hand. Just help them out a little bit. Number one, I was telling you that my dad was my biggest supporter. You can do it. I love you. You're almost there, son. And having somebody like that in your life is just amazing. And I don't really have that anymore. So I always, talk to my dad every day. Today's Father's Day. Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day to you too, Johnny.
And that's kind of what I want to talk about my dad. I get a little emotional.
It's okay.
But So that's kind of what my podcast has become, is I always interview actors. Some of them are famous actors. Some of them are regular actors. Some of them are just, you know, working actors. And every show that I ask them, what advice would you give? And there's always such great tips and tricks. So for the actors out there who don't have that support, somebody who may be, you know, knocking you down, my show's all about positive and helping you. Like, I'm going to be that person for you, like my dad was to me. You tune into the podcast, it's quick little, tidbits. And then you may want to be quitting, because I thought about it many times. And then you go, wow, what they just said inspired me. I'm going to keep going. So every one of my shows is about that. And I would say, like you said a while ago, my number fifth thing would be to treat yourself. And I'm just starting to do that. Like, yes. I grew up working on cars in Texas. I took auto mechanics, and I bought this old Mercedes. It was in real estate. Somebody's parents had passed away, and I think the kid had wrecked the car. He didn't tell me he wrecked it, but underneath, I didn't know. But it looked really great. And he sold it to me for $500. It was a 2001 E430 Mercedes-Benz black, perfect on the inside. Outside, it needed a little bit of work. And that $500 car has now cost me about $7,500. But still, a year later, I just got it registered 2 weeks ago. It's all buffed up. It looks almost brand new. I took a pictures of it, and I sent it to the owner. To the guy that sold it to me, he says, thank you so much. My dad, passing, because my dad would be so happy that you did that first car. So I'm going to drive it to the premiere on Wednesday.
You're about to be sharp, man. You're about to be sharp. Are you allowed to bring somebody to the premiere? Is your girlfriend coming with you?
Yeah, since she's my good luck charm.
Yes.
I swear I didn't get to see her for a couple of weeks. We were both busy, and I didn't work at all in those 2 weeks. The minute we sat down for lunch, I got a call and I got a booking. And then I got another booking, and then I got this. I was like, oh my gosh, she's totally. So yeah, so
she's coming. She's definitely there.
Yeah. Even though I helped her get the money she deserved, you know, through her mom, she's kind of my good luck charm. And so I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Sounds exciting.
Yeah. So number five would be treat yourself.
I love to treat yourself. I am so that person. And that's why I was like, John, you got to take a little extra time. Yes, yeah, definitely.
I just started it, and I'm going to start doing a little more of that. But, you know, get that car running, you know, even though it took a year. That's treating myself, because I enjoyed every minute fixing that car up.
Well, then that's nice. If that was a joy for you, taking the time to do that and spending time and getting it together and it's completed, what an accomplishment that must be to feel like, yes, it's done. Nice.
I got it for acting and real estate. I'm just going to keep it covered and only drive it for those two things.
Look, I'm sure you'll take great care of it. I'm sure you'll probably be the only person driving it too. That's for sure.
Yeah. Well, after a while, you know, I'm going to let people, you know, who have acting gigs stay at my place if they're not in LA, because hotels are $400 to $600. And then if they need it, something to drive, I'll just give them the keys. And they
A lot of trust. All right. There it is. There's the be nice.
Why not?
Let me ask you, what is something that many people don't know about you?
Well, I talked about it to you about being a real estate broker.
Okay.
I'm just not telling anybody. Like, all my girlfriend's friends are well-to-do, and they have money to buy houses and stuff. I just don't want to pitch myself till I'm totally 100% ready. Like, my website is.
Okay. So you're just keeping it silent until you can show everything and it's professional.
Yeah. It's gotta be professional. And
well, then you're in Cali. Yeah. Where you're living. Come on. Yeah. I get it. It should be. You know,
yeah, because the homes in my neighborhood are $5 to $7 million. And I work for real estate people that sell $9 million, $10 million, $20, $25 million homes. I'm like, how many people live here? Two. Wow. What?
Wow.
Are you kidding me? Three story house. So I'm just going to start off in some smaller areas like Palm, Culver City, Mar Vista, where the houses are $1.2 million. And those are fixer upper houses. I mean, it's just crazy out here. But I just thought of something else. I actually, I like Bruce Lee. I can actually do nunchucks really, really good.
What? Okay, so this is something people don't know about you.
No, I actually got an acting job before that, because I put it on my resume. They said, hey, can you go get those nunchucks real quick? And I said, sure. And they just wanted me to do it. I said, He goes, it has nothing to do with that. I just wanted to see you do it. And they actually booked me for the job. And I think it was because of that.
Oh, wow. How did you learn how to do it?
I watched Bruce Lee movies and I couldn't afford nunchucks. And so I just took some broom handles and I cut them off and I wrapped them up with electrical tape and I put a little chain in between that. And I started practicing with those until I could finally get some real nunchucks. And then you just practice, you know, watch Bruce Lee, do what he does, put it in slow-mo and try to twist them and throw them up in the air and catch them behind your back. And it's fun. I smacked myself several times and they come out of
my hand. I'm sure you did. That's how we learn, right? We keep on going though.
Yeah, I love it though.
I love those old karate pictures. We used to love it when they'd be like talking, like the mouth moving and it's like one long sentence, but they've been talking for so long and flying into the trees. And yeah, we loved Bruce Lee, all of that.
Yeah, Bruce Lee, they had this one character, this little wimpy character. He was almost in every movie and he was the instigator. He'd always come up and go, "My boss says," and then he'd get his little flunkies to try to beat up Bruce Lee.
Right, it's true.
Yeah, and that guy, I was in Las Vegas one time. I was doing some acting thing, promoting some kind of product. And I saw, I mean, there were so many celebrities there, Sugar Ray Leonard and all these celebrities. And none of them impressed me, but I saw that guy. I go, "That's the guy from the Kung Fu Theater." And I actually jumped off. I was giving a speech and I just left the crowd. I was running. I never could find him. I just wanted to get my picture taken with him. I know that was him.
That's funny. You're like, I know that was him. We say you haven't seen him enough times on those shows to know that was him.
Yeah,
for sure.
I couldn't find him. He got lost in the crowd because it was like, you know, 100,000 people there. So.
Oh my gosh! Wow. Can I ask you, what is the most precious thing in your life, and what about it brings you joy?
So right now, I would say the most precious thing in my life is just time. Because I'm getting older and, you know, people on their deathbed, they say, "I wish I had more money," or "I wish I would have, you know, met so-and-so." I don't know. They just wish that they had more time. And now that everything's rocking and rolling, finally, you know, I'm in my 50s now. This is like the life I wanted when I was in my 20, when I was 25 or 30. But maybe I was kind of naive and cocky back then and maybe it wouldn't have been good. I might have gotten into trouble. But it's time. A precious time. Like yesterday, like my girlfriend's so busy, I'm so busy. And so we don't get to see each other. We took the day off yesterday and we just spending that time on the beach, spending the time taking a nap, going out and singing karaoke. I mean, yesterday was like just probably just one of the best days of my life, just doing nothing, just doing what
you
want
to
do.
I love it. And to me, that's living. That is living, you know, especially if you come from a background where you're used to working. You come from a family lifestyle where everyone's working hard. You know, we understand that especially if you didn't grow up with a lot of money, we didn't grow up with a lot of money. Working is important because I was like, I don't want to be broke. You know, I want to feel like I want to live a comfortable life. I want to live better than how I grew up. But sometimes we have to take a moment to say, hey, when we leave this earth, you can't take a dime, a quarter, a bill, nothing with us, no matter how much money you have in your bank account. So at the end of it, being able to live and enjoy some of that time and that money while you are breathing and healthy and alive, it's worth it. It's worth it. And some people work their life away and never get a chance to really spend or really live well with it because they've been so busy working. And even for myself, I always feel like I don't have any children, you know, so I feel like I'm working for somebody else. That money that is going to be, it's going to go to someone, a family member, a niece, you know, so I live well while I am breathing. That is always, I always treat myself, like you said, for number five. I always take care of me. Yes, because who else is going to do it? You know, and when I want something, I get it from myself. I'll be like, "You did a great job today. What do you feel like?" You know? It's going to put a smile on your face. So yeah, let's do it. So I feel like we all need to think of ourselves in that form of fashion to like just treat ourselves the best. You know, it goes a long way. Definitely. Definitely.
I'm with you.
Well, hey, you've started and that's it. That's all we have to do is start, you know, step by step. Definitely. Can I ask you, what advice would you want to give someone who wanted to pursue this field of doing the podcast? What would you like to say to someone, you know, maybe they didn't give you that advice when you started yourself, that you could give to someone else?
Well, just like the podcast or a business, it just takes just getting started. Sometimes it just seems overwhelming. I don't really get this saying, but they always say, you know how you eat an elephant? One bite at a time.
Did they say that?
Yeah, that's a say.
Oh my gosh, I've never heard that before.
You can't eat the whole elephant, so you have to eat it one little. You have to just take that first step.
Oh my gosh, that's horrible. That's horrible. Oh my gosh. What about a chicken? A chicken or something we were already eating.
Well, they say the elephant because it seems like an overwhelming task.
Oh, okay.
You can't get it done. And with anything, it's just that first step. And I always have to remind myself of that when I have, you know, let's say I did a lot of jobs and I have a lot of invoices to do. I'm like, I can't do those 7 invoices right now. I just worked all day. And you know what? You do that first one. And just like, you know, football, you know, you make that first field goal and you're like, wow, we got momentum. Let's
so
just
true.
Keep going. And when that momentum's gone, like right now in my life, it hasn't even, like today, number one, I've got that movie coming up. That didn't just happen overnight. You know, with anything, you have to lay a great foundation first. You just can't go from the bottom to the top because you're going to crumble because you didn't build it right. But if you build everything slow, steady pace wins the race, you get that foundation going, you keep going. If you have a mishap, you're only going to fall 1 or 2 steps. You're not going to fall all the way to the back and start all over again. I would just say slow, steady pace. And number one is, I mean, go with your gut. If you get a bad feeling, your body's talking to you. You're meeting the wrong person or the wrong opportunity. You get this weird feeling, like even, you know, dating. Listen to your gut and also listen to your heart. Just go with that. And once I started really listening to those things and that little weird feeling comes up in your gut, you're like, yeah, maybe I shouldn't walk down that alley. Maybe I shouldn't go that way in that path.
Follow that feeling.
Right. And I don't want to say, you know, they say people aren't meant to be in your life forever. You know, people say, you want to be a millionaire, hang around other millionaires. Well, you don't just get rid of all your friends you had your whole life because you want to be a millionaire. I always say you have to accept, you know, people for who they are, listen to their opinions. Everyone's entitled to it, whether you agree with it or not. Mm-hmm. You know, just get off the judgment and just not judge and, you know, just focus on what you want to do in life. You're like, you know, forget about what's on the side of you. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why the windshield in your car is so big and the rearview mirror is so small. You know, you don't want to breathe life into your past and propel it to the here and now and make that your future.
All right.
You already lived it. You already lived it. And a lot of people do that. They live that same day over and over again. You know, it's like
that Groundhog Day. Yeah.
And just, you know, surround yourself with, you know, better people. You know, who are saying that you can do it. You're on your way. You're almost there. Because I used to have people in my life that just, you know, will talk down. And and you got to really get some positive people around you.
It's true, because breaking those molds, breaking those old chains and, you know, things, it's hard. But when you can put yourself with other people who are strong, they can support you. You can support each other, have someone to lean on. It makes a huge difference. So definitely being around people who are thinking like, who are like-minded, like-hearted, will make all of the difference for giving you the support when you're down.
And once you're on that road, that momentum, you have to just keep it going as long as you can. Because one day something's going to happen and it's not going to be there. So you just got to enjoy it while it's there. Enjoy it. Like you say, take the time out to, like you say, treat yourself and stay positive for sure.
Yes, yes. If you could express your life in a phrase at this point in 2022, what would that phrase say or be?
Oh, my God. A phrase. Let me think about that a second.
A phrase.
I think you finally stumped me.
Uh-oh, there it is. Chris Levins, there it is. I do what I can.
I mean, a phrase that just, I mean, we kind of, well, I would just say that everything that I just kind of said is, I don't know if it's an actual phrase, you know, I would just say that I'm living my dream. I'm on a roll right now. You know, I'm living rent-free. I'm near the beach. I manage this building. My website's coming along. Real estate broker business is moving along. My podcast is back on, you know, number one again. I got this movie screening coming out, and I would just say, just pinch me, because right now I feel like I'm dreaming.
Pinch me, because it feels like I'm dreaming. I love it.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Pinch me because it feels like I'm dreaming.
Yes, we got it. We got it. We got it.
That's awesome.
Wow. 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 Yes, it does sound like things are on a roll. I love it. I'm happy to be here and, you know, to be able to witness this part of things that are happening. Definitely. That's so exciting. And that you could share with all of our listeners as well. Yes, for the expression. Well, I thought that maybe we could play a short game.
Okay.
It's called Would You Rather. Okay. I'm going to read the question and you give me your honest answer about what you feel.
Okay, sweet.
Okay, here we go. Number one, would you rather go without shampoo for the rest of your life or toothpaste for the rest of your life?
Oh, man. I would have to say shampoo. I have a nice thick head of hair and but I can't have skank mouth. I got to brush my teeth, man.
I know, right? And you're an actor and everything. Like, you're real estate, everything is using your mouth. Like, you have to talk.
Now, I can always just do the comb over, put a hat on.
Or wear a mask, right? Like,
yeah. True.
I love it. Okay, so we're going with the no shampoo.
Okay.
Okay. Yes. Okay, number two. Would you rather have a time machine or a teleporter?
Ooh, what's the difference? Time machine, you can go back in time, and teleporter just...
Well, the time machine is going to take you throughout time. The teleporter is like taking you to just different places, right? Ooh. It's not saying that they're moving through time. They're just sending you, like, you want to pop over to Paris, they can get you there. But it's all in the present, right? We're not going in...
Right. That's really good. Yeah, so since I'm not so much on the traveling, I mean, seriously, it's a lot of work, you know, just with the airplanes and stuff. It's like you need a vacation after your vacation. So I would go with the time machine, but knowing what I know now, I would love to go back to where I was like, I remember I'm like 7 or 8 years old, and I used to put dippity doo on my hair. And I get my comb,
and I'd
have to make my heel. I say, "Mama, I can't make my heel," and I wouldn't want to go to school. But knowing what I know, right? Yeah, and I would just tell, you know, I would, because my dad worked for 7-Eleven. Mm-hmm. I would convince him, "Let's get out of Houston. Let's move to West Los Angeles." And I would wish I could have just started my acting career back, you know, then. Plus, you know, since you know everything, you know Mike Tyson's going to get knocked out in the 8th round by Buster Douglas. You know, you buy Apple stock.
Right. There's a lot that can go on, right? You're like, there's a lot that can change real quick.
That was 40-1.
Right.
I would have bought Bitcoin at $20 like my son told me to do.
Right. Yeah. See, look, all of it. And I've been like, yeah. There it is. That's a good answer.
Sure.
Good answer. Okay, next question. Would you rather be physically stronger than most people or be able to fly?
Ooh, fly. Always fly. That's my dream.
Is it?
Oh, my God. If you could just, because, you know, they have those little jetpack things, but forget that. But if you could just fly and just be up in the air, you're not going to fall or anything. You're just actually going to fly like Superman. Yeah, I would be flying. I'd be flying everywhere, man. No traffic, LA. My girlfriend lives like 10 minutes away. It takes me 45 minutes to get to her
house. Oh, my gosh. LA traffic is the worst.
She lives right there in Playa del Rey. I live in Santa Monica. It's 45 minutes. I'm just like, oh, my God, where are all these people from? Where are they here? Why? What are they doing? They're loving the weather is what they're doing.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, forget it. I'm from New York, New Jersey area. So, yeah, no. Mm-mm. We get on that train. Yeah, nothing like that.
Yeah.
That's why we have
so many homeless people here. I mean, would you rather be homeless? You know, I mean, you got an RV. You want to live in your car? You want to pitch a tent? They do it right here. They just take over the sidewalks.
Like, I heard that it's really bad. Someone was saying that came from Japan, and they were like, oh my gosh. And I was like, really? Is it like that?
Oh, you should see downtown. I mean, everywhere, West LA. I mean, parts of Santa Monica. I mean, just pitch a tent and it's everywhere. So we definitely, I interviewed somebody who was a homeless. He used to be homeless. And he told me there's four types of homeless people. There's the super crazies that you're never going to fix. And they're walking all around here. Anyway, so you got to you can't put them in with the regular homeless. Then you have the ones that are drug addicts and alcoholics. So that's one. Then you have just the regular homeless people who are just down and out and they just need a break. Mm-hmm. And then you have the homeless people with children. And you have to sort and separate it and help them individually on those four categories.
Oh, my God. Who would have thought there were categories in the homeless? Yeah. I learned something new today.
Mix them all together. And we have the money to do it. And I just don't get it. I think there are strides being made. When I traveled, we stay at the KOA campground. So they need to have, you know, more campgrounds, but with security there. You know, they got the tiny homes. They should have parking lots where you can park your RVs. And they actually do have stuff like that. Because my son, he said for about a month, there's this place you go to and you get a permit and you can go there and sleep in your car. And there's showers there for you. Okay. And it's a nice, safe place where you're not just pulling off on the side of the road.
Almost like a camping ground type thing.
Yeah, kind of. So there are things, but there's just so many, and we got to just help it on the mass scaling. Like I was saying, you know, people in those $20 million homes, two people live there. How many more people can live in that house?
Right, right, exactly.
I don't know what the answer is for that.
Yeah. No, right. Well, thank you so much for playing the game. I hope that you enjoyed it a little bit.
Oh, I did. It's so weird being interviewed because I'm usually doing the interview.
I was about to say to be on the other side of the microphone. Yes. Yeah. Well, I'd like to ask one final question. I'd like to close with this question to all my guests. Is your glass half empty or half full?
It's definitely half full.
Yes.
And I'm adding to it, and I'm just going three quarters. I'm going to go so high till my cup just runneth over.
All right now. All right. Would you say and grab something else to catch the drippings?
Yeah. And sometimes people are too full. They actually have to like empty the glass out so you can actually add more in there because maybe you got a bunch of stuff that needs to be cleared out and thrown away or donated or get rid of. So you need to make room. So yeah, the glass it is half empty, but it's half empty for a reason, so you can add more good things in there. So you could go either way with that one.
Yes, of course. And everybody has. I love to hear the answers for it. Yes. Do you have any final thoughts for our listeners?
I would just say that, you know, everything that I've learned in my life has helped me become like, you know, a better human being. And just stay healthy, stay upbeat, stay positive, keep your family and your friends and try to help them. How to get what you want in life is by helping others get what they want in life and just being a positive influence. And we're here for such a short time. Just be nice. Don't be mean.
I hear that. We love that. Can you tell everyone how they can reach you if they like to find out more information about you and your podcast?
Yeah, so it's Actors 2020 podcast. Like I say, number one today. You can put it in your iPod or whatever when you're jogging. If you know, even if you're not an actor, and it's inspirational. And there's a few celebrity and Emmy nominated people on there as well.
Wow, nice.
And the other one is not ready yet, but I'll just tell you my real estate website. There's something you can QR code and scan, but it's called Team Riley. My last name's actually Riley, Johnny Keith Riley. I always say, call me and start living the life. Oh, really? No, Riley. TeamRiley.com.
Oh, so that's it's just nice. Team Riley.
Yeah, I'm putting it together. But, you know, give me time. Just bookmark it and come back in 4 or 5 months.
Okay. You said Riley.com. Is it Riley.com?
Team Riley. Team.
Team Riley. And all one word. Yeah. R-I-L-E-Y. Yeah.
That's right. TeamRiley.com. TeamRiley.com. Oh, really? No, Riley.
See, you got your commercial already. It's ready to go. I can even hear the music in the background. Boom, 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 boom. Yes.
That's a good idea. Let me write that down. Put music to it. I'm just not creating it, so any advice would help.
Well, I am a voice and music teacher, so there I'm with you on it. I'm there. I'm like, yes, make that vision. And get it started. Definitely. Yeah. Awesome.
It's going to happen. Everything I've done in life comes, you know, happens. You know, you create it, you focus, you visualize it, and, you know, you close your eyes, it's there. And then one day you open your eyes and wow, it's right there.
And, you know, it always comes when it's time. Sometimes it's not the time when we're asking for or when we want it, but when it comes, it's on time. It is on time. So that's awesome. Thank you so much for taking some time out to be a guest here on Glass Half Full. We are so happy to have had you today. Mr. Number One.
Right. Yes, I appreciate it. And thank you so much. I really appreciate, you know, somebody taking interest in my life.
Oh, yes. Yes, we have taken interest. We are now going to be looking for you. They're going to be people, the viewers, they're going to be looking for you. Yes, as well. Video, TV. Let's see what Johnny's going to be doing next. Definitely.
Yeah, I'm going to be on a series pretty soon. Pretty soon, I feel it. I'm going to be on a television series.
You've got a great name, too. It just rolls off. It sounds so rich. It just sounds like you, you know, you are somebody just by that name by itself. It just, it rings. So. Yeah, I mean, that's awesome.
I do like 100 auditions a month, basically, and it's wow. It's a lot. But to get just a little, you have to do that. You know?
So you got
to
put that time in. Definitely.
You know what? Because dreams come true if you have one.
Yeah. I love that. Yes, yes, they do. They do. They do. Thank you so much. You have an awesome day.
All right. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you. And thank you to all our listeners listening in to another episode of Glass Half Full, a podcast and a safe platform for everyone to share their life experiences. Once again, I'm your host, Chris Levins. Please subscribe, follow, and rate this podcast on Apple Music and Spotify for more learning experiences. Until next time, know you are blessed. See ya!